Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. Thank you for tuning in and watching Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. First on the docket, an Evelyn Boswell update. Grandma says Megan loved Evelyn. Also, Megan's mom, new charges. Second, Lori Vallos wants a new bond hearing. Third, Jodi Arias now knows where she will remain. Fourth, should all inmates be released? Five, our pets.com good person of the day. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. If you have not already subscribed, we would ask you to please do so. If you have subscribed and you want to make sure you receive notifications, hit that little bell so that you receive those notifications. And finally, leave us a comment. We want to hear what you have to say about what we've talked about. Now, in these trying times, we hope to bring you informative news and maybe even educate you a little bit about the law. So let's get to it. First on the docket, an Evelyn Boswell update. Now, for those of you who do not recall, Evelyn Boswell was the 15-month-old child that went missing in Tennessee. Her mother, Megan Boswell, said that she thought that the child was with her mother, Angela Boswell. Well, Angela Boswell and her boyfriend, who we'll talk about in a minute, were arrested basically in receipt of a stolen car that they maybe didn't pay for, but they're presumed innocent. Well, needless to say, mom and boyfriend bond out. Megan Boswell ultimately gets charged with making false statements to the police once the body is found on a family member's property, basically grandma's property. Megan Boswell has not been charged. Neither has anyone else been charged with the death of Evelyn. Obviously, with the things going on in the world, it may take a little more time to get a grand jury assembled there in Tennessee to come up with charges, but I believe those will be forthcoming. The grandmother of Megan Boswell, so this would be the great-grandmother of Evelyn, says that Megan loved that child. Now, Grandma also states that she was under the impression that Evelyn was in foster care at the time that Evelyn was reported missing. She said she had no idea and that she had not seen Evelyn since September. Grandma had had a falling out with Megan Boswell, and she was under the belief that the child had been placed in foster care in December. Obviously, that turned out to be untrue, but it clearly shows that different stories were being made to different people. Apparently, when asked why she never asked Megan why Evelyn would have been placed in foster care, she didn't, basically figuring that it would embarrass Megan. Now, stated, Megan was charged on February 25th upon her arrest for false reporting. She still remains in custody on a $150,000 bond. We will wait and see when charges come out, but we'll bring you the latest information as we discover it. Well, today here in Crime Talk, we're bringing you all kinds of information from the family tree of Megan and Evelyn. Well, the grandmother of baby Evelyn, that's right, Angela Boswell, and her boyfriend, William McLeod, they have been charged with shoplifting at Walmart. They were not arrested, but they were given a summons after they basically tried to walk out of the store without paying. Now, this certainly does not bode well for either of them since they are on bond currently pending charges of theft by receiving, basically being in receipt of a car that they maybe didn't pay for entirely, even though they thought each other one had bought the car and really hadn't. So that doesn't go well. In most jurisdictions, there is a crime of violation of bail bond conditions. So if you pick up a new charge while you're on bond or you violate the terms and conditions of your bond, you can be charged with an additional crime. We'll see what the prosecutors do in this particular case, but it certainly would give the prosecutor reason to file a motion with the court to revoke their bond, since obviously they cannot stay out of trouble, even for the minor level crimes such as shoplifting, that they should be remanded back to custody. It seems like, unfortunately, for the sake of baby Evelyn, that this entire family is just a hot mess, and hopefully things get resolved here, and people that are going to be responsible for the death of baby Evelyn are brought to justice. We'll have to wait and see. But as always, everyone that we've talked about here in Crime Talk is given the presumption of innocence until and if they are found guilty by a jury or plead guilty. Next on the docket, Lori Vallos, the woman that America is loving to hate, all right? If she does not get her way, she just fires the people in her way. Starting to notice a trend here in her personal life as well as with her attorneys. As you may recall, Lori Vallos, when brought back to Idaho, requested that her $5 million bond that was set in Hawaii for the extradition back to Idaho. So Lori Vallos had her bond reduced from $1 million to $5 million. Apparently, she is still unable to make that bond, or her new beau, her new boyfriend, Chad Daybell, is unable to do that because, as we've discussed, the options are for him to post a $1 million cash bond. He can post property, but they're going to want usually at least 1 to 1.5 times the value of the property, or third, to go through a bail bonds person. That bail bonds person will usually only take between 8 and 10% for that particular bond, but they still want $1 million in collateral if Ms. Vallo were to abscond the jurisdiction, since they would be ultimately on the hook to pay that bond. They're an insurance company. They don't take risks like that. They take secured gambles, which means if she leaves town, they sell the property, they pay the bond, no harm, no foul to them. Well, Ms. Vallo didn't get the results she wanted, so she fired her previous attorney, Brian Webb, and Edwina Elcox, and now she's hired attorney Mark Means of the Means Law and Mediation. Now, when one asks for a bond reduction, you usually only get one bite at the apple, all right? And to come back and argue for another bond reduction, you have to show changed circumstances. You have to be able to show something other than simply the passage of time so that the bond should be reduced. Well, obviously, the new attorney, Mr. Means, knows what the legal requirement is, so he filed a very generic motion with the court, and it basically says that through Chapter 29 of the Idaho Bail Act, including applicable statutes, defendant, by and through her attorney of record, asserts new facts have come to light to support this motion since the previous motion bond hearing. Obviously, he knows what needs to be said to get a hearing, or at least have it entertained. But he specifically does not state what this new evidence is, even though there is apparently a ton of new discovery that has been turned over to the defense. They have to be able to show some changed circumstance. Unless they have some evidence that shows that she is not the one responsible for the welfare care of these children, and that maybe somebody else has these children, I can't imagine a judge further entertaining this motion at all. I would anticipate the prosecution either filing a motion or objecting, if there is set for a hearing, that there are no new changed circumstances and nothing would warrant a new bond argument. But as we've seen, if Lori Vallo doesn't like her way, she simply tries to get somebody else taken out of the situation. Obviously, she didn't like the judge. Apparently, she had him recused. She didn't like the attorneys who were probably giving her candid legal advice. She got rid of them. She clearly only wants people around her that are going to tell her what she wants to hear, which is, oh, sure, we'll get you another bond hearing. We'll wait and see. My prediction is it will be denied. Next on the docket, Jodi Arias. Yes, For those of you who don't recall, Jodi Arias was a woman down in Arizona years and years ago, killed her boyfriend, admitted she killed her boyfriend, but she did it in self-defense. And because of that, she had to stab him some 30 times to really make sure he was dead. Well, she had a trial. It was a circus. It was a zoo. It was a circus. That's the best way to describe it. She took the stand. She testified for like 5 weeks or something. It was craziness gone crazy. All right? That's the best way to describe it. It was nuts. She filed new petitions through new counsel that she was entitled to a new hearing, basically alleging that there was prosecutorial misconduct throughout her trial and that that would have warranted a new trial. Well, the appellate courts in Arizona completely disagreed. And although they did not say that they loved the conduct of the district attorney in this particular case, they described his aggressive tone, combative, and even bullying behavior were a recurring issue throughout the trial, that the previous counsel had moved for a mistrial some 6 times. The Court of Appeals stated, although we strongly disapprove of his actions, being the district attorney's, we are compelled to follow the well-established principle that we do not reverse convictions merely to punish prosecutors' misdeeds. So based upon the arguments presented in their briefs of prosecutorial misconduct and basically the judge's failure to control news coverage during the case deprived her of a fair trial, the 29-page opinion unanimously concluded that the prosecutor, Juan Martinez's conduct in this case, didn't outweigh Arias's guilt principle in criminal law, that you are entitled to a fair trial, not a perfect trial. And this is the classic kind of conclusion that the courts come down with. Although there was error, we find it harmless in light of the overwhelming evidence against the accused. And frankly, these judges probably didn't want to be the judges reversing the case to recreate another circus that clearly would be surrounded by this case. They'll punt, let it go up to the Arizona Supreme Court if they even want to hear it and if they think it warrants that. But it's the old, what they refer to as the son of a bitch rule, when the client's a real son of a bitch. Although there was error, it was harmless in light of the overwhelming evidence of guilt. So it really didn't matter. Jodi Arias will now know that her place of residence will continue to be that of the Arizona Department of Corrections, as her sentence of life in prison without parole has been affirmed. Next on the docket, should inmates be released pending the coronavirus pandemic? Well, that's what a lot of people believe, is that there is a deadly path going to move through prisons, basically because prisons, people reside in close quarters with each other. Sometimes prisons can be not the cleanest place. That's not my experience. My experience is they are squeaky clean because they know, the administrators know, that you, if it's unclean, you'll get disease and it will spread rather quickly. And they have a constant workforce there. So when they start cleaning, and when then they're finished with the cleaning, they start cleaning it all over again so it's clean. If you've ever need to use a restroom in a prison, it is the cleanest bathroom you'll ever be in. That's just my personal experience. But a lot of people are absolutely scared to death that this pandemic will run through the prisons and kill lots and lots of people. A lot of people in nonprofit organizations that continue to advocate for people in prison are stating that they want the president to use his clemency powers to commute sentences of inmates eligible for compassionate release, particularly those who are elderly who have underlying medical conditions. I don't see that happening just yet. However, you never know. This is completely uncharted territory. We'll have to see what takes place. There was an interesting case in a jail in Alabama on Friday where two inmates threatened to commit suicide if newly arrived immigration and custom enforcement detainees that were arriving, they feared that they would be exposed if they were not removed. Now, what really gets weird is that there was a video live stream from an inmate's Facebook account showing these detainees standing over a ledge in kind of a common area with a noose around their neck made from sheets, threatening to jump. Now, apparently, the detainees were removed. The other inmates did not commit suicide. But I think the bigger disturbing issue is why was the inmate allowed to have a phone, and why was he able to live stream? Clearly, some security issues are lacking in that facility, but I don't know if it warrants release of everybody in the Federal Bureau of Prisons or in state prisons. I can tell you here in Denver, because that's where I'm most familiar with, pretrial detainees, if it is low-level misdemeanors, if it's nonviolent felonies, the district attorneys and the courts have been trying to grant personal recognizance bonds if they're really no threat to the community. If they're violent, they're staying in custody. I have not had any federal clients released from pretrial detention, nor do I assume so. And also, Denver, in the wee hours of the night, the chief judge signed an order allowing everyone that was on work release to be placed on the sheriff's in-home detention program, which basically means they don't have to go back to the jail. They just get to go live somewhere and have an ankle monitor on their ankle. So people are doing what they need to do to reduce the risks of the coronavirus in custody. We'll wait and see. I'm still a little concerned about that phone being there in custody. We know that they all exist, but somehow the Washington Post was able to get that video. Next on the docket, our pets. That's right, PETTZ.com. Good person of the day. And as we've said, pets.com has helped us out. So we're going to help them out and give a big shout out. And in this particular case, they are bringing us our good person of the day. And our good person of the day is the Oxford, Mississippi Police Department. The Oxford Police Department is actually going the extra mile to help senior citizens out. As a lot of you have heard, a lot of grocery stores and other stores that remain open have hours designated for people usually over 55 or older so that they can do their shopping and not have to be exposed to other people since they're kind of in that high-risk area of zone of people. Well, the Oxford Police Department is not only driving people, elderly people, to the grocery stores, they're helping them with the shopping, they're taking them home and helping them put their groceries away. So for that, the Oxford Police Department is our pets.com good person of the day. Thank you, Oxford Police Department. And finally, today on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day comes from New Hampshire. Benjamin Leyland apparently got a little offended when his neighbor knocked on his door Monday evening and asked him to turn his music down. So instead of either telling the guy to go to hell, I can play the music as loud as I want, or to say, you know, you're right, I apologize for the inconvenience, I will turn the music down, and oh my gosh, if I ever turn it up too loud again, please do not hesitate to come let me know so I can turn it down. No, 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 Mr. Leyland, he was having none of that. What he did instead was grab a 2.5-foot sword and began to swing it and then chase his neighbor back to his property. Now, Mr. Leyland, you should have just let it go because now, well, they're not going to let you go. You're in custody and you're facing charges of criminal threatening, basically menacing somebody with a deadly weapon, right? A sword, that's it. Tensions are high, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people are at home. A lot of people just aren't sure what to do with all this free time on their hands, not to mention all that time with family. Take a deep breath, let it go, and maybe watch a nice, relaxing sleep sounds video or something like that. Maybe we could put a nice link on there where people could go and listen to nice sounds and relax so you don't have to harm your neighbors or do anything like that. Have a great day. I hope everyone is okay. Stay healthy, wash your hands, follow your social distancing rules, and stay healthy. Have a great day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. We'll see you again soon.